because honestly, that's a really expensive way to do a dirt substitute.
Yeah.
But you got them now. Oh.
There is a breeze.
Yeah.
Coming from the north.
Yeah. I was having an insightful morning.
Yeah?
Yeah. Well, I read my scriptures, which I'm pretty much the same place everybody else is, so I'm at, like, I was doing the Sherem thing. And got that done. I'm trying to remember what little thing popped out there. I forget. Anyway, and then I was reading my emails, and they were talking all about how the Falkland Islands were dealing with the coronavirus and stuff like that. The biggest problem is their 11-year-old kids, of which they only have like 4 or 5, 11th grade kids, were supposed to be taking the big, the big UK test for college.
Yeah.
And the UK had already said, oh, nope, none of that this year. And it's like, well, does that mean they have to sit out for a whole year and try to test again to get into college? And so this has created some sort of quandary. Anyway, but they had this big thing from their chief medical officer of the islands and from the brigadier of the military attachment there. And I said, golly, what's a brigadier? What kind of rank is that? You know, English. So, went and looked that up, and it brought back to me an old thing. In the enlisted ranks, in the not-too-distant past, like 40 years ago, there was all these specialist positions. If you went into the Army, you almost had a couple of tracks you could go on. One of them was the traditional non-commissioned officer track, which, you know, is mostly for leadership. As soon as you became a corporal, which is like what does that equate to in the Air Force? I don't know. Airman first class. I think what the guys are right now. They're not senior airmen yet. I'm not sure. Anyway, you can either choose to become a corporal or a specialist. Corporal was made for people that were like leading people. You had to be the leader of, 2 or 3 people when you became a corporal. If you were a specialist, you didn't have to... Boy, yeah. Whoa, God. He's got interest. I think he just wants to see. Anyway. Or you can become a specialist, which really isn't about leadership at all. It's about being really, really good at what you're doing. You know, having... It's more of a technician track. Well, over the years, they got rid of the specialist. And so they said it's really, the leadership in the military has been clamoring to get specialists back. Said because they said, we don't have anybody in uniform that knows what the heck they're doing.
That's
I said, it's nice that, you know, you've got this whole thing about, yeah, I'm learning leadership skills and I'm learning how to get guys to do what I want them to do and stuff like that. And they go, but the problem is, if the people that you're leading are dingbats, what good is that?
Yeah.
So anyway. So I was sitting there and I was thinking about myself, for instance. And I went, you know, I've been poking around, and I said, so when did I get off the management track? And I said, oh, I know when. 1995. I said, I had my first leadership management role over at Roundtree in Farmington. And I said, and I screwed the pooch. Yeah, I said, I had a nervous breakdown. I said, that doesn't bode well. It wasn't like, well, if it just would have hung in there. And you go, well, yeah, but I think Lisa would have left me. And I probably would have left me, too. Anyway, and I said, so that's when I decided to go the specialist route. And you go, pretty much that's all I've had since then, specialist. And yeah, I started thinking about that whole thing I did with David, and I said, boy, it sounds just like the kind of weird conflict that happens between a grizzled old sergeant major, chief master sergeant, and a second lieutenant. You know, is a second lieutenant the officer? Yes. Does he get to say who does, you know, does he get to make the command decisions? And you go, yes. And you go, is he going to be a dipstick? Yes. He doesn't have any choice. He has no experience. You know, all he has is a little bit of leadership school, you know, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And this, I was reading this little essay from a guy, and he was saying, yeah, he says, this has been in the Army for ages. You know, it says, and the Army still works, and you work it out, and your second lieutenant doesn't piss off the sergeant major, and the sergeant major says, yes, sir. You know, even though this is a little 20-year-old punk that doesn't have a clue. And you go, it's okay, we're on different tracks. You respect me, I respect you, we're all just going to get along, you know. So I think that's almost exactly what I said in my letter to him when he said, well, they don't like me. And you go, well, number one, you have to understand, a good portion of all this stuff comes from respect. This is, we've been in this game for a while, since before you were born. And you're going, I always put it in terms of the resentment of what's happening. And it's mostly about me. You know. I said, it's my fault. I'm the person that ultimately walked away from leadership, you know, from management.
The closer.
Yes. Ooh, we're finally getting it now. It's in front of us. Yeah. Well, anyway, so it's like, yeah, you know. So I said, you know what's going on here? I said, number one, it continues to be Clark's shop. He'll run it the way he sees fit. He's the general. You know?
Uh-huh.
Says now, if he doesn't take input from the NCOs like me, well, that's his business, you know, and his shop suffers for it. So the fact that sometimes we just kind of go around him and we don't do what he says, particularly sometimes. So not always, and I says I'm not going to do it to his face, that's insubordinate. But I said, yeah. He said, let's be honest. I said, the way you're treating David, I said, you're treating him like an ensign. He's going through your personal academy. I said, and yeah. I said, the chances of him being a manager is getting a lot better. You know, he's sitting at that table. Makes sense that when Clark is sitting at that table, and if Justin, something happens to Justin, he retires or he gets sick or can't carry on anymore for one reason or another, which I think would only be in death. Not to get morbid, but it says chances are very good that he'll look around the table and he'll go, well, I guess David's going to be the next manager. And you're going, okay. And you go, you know what? It says, I shouldn't be too resentful of that. I made the decision back in 1995 that I wasn't going to be one of those kinds of people. And I shouldn't be so resentful of those that might go for it. You know? Oh. You go, I'm sorry. No second lieutenant has any business being in charge of things, but that's the way things are. You know? And you go, you don't get weird about it. You know that over time that person's going to figure it out. The scariest part is that probably with just a few more years in, David will be making more money than I am, because managers have to make more money than the people they supervise. That's a law. And you go, wow, he's going to go from making $30,000 to probably making close to $80,000 without even really having accomplished a whole lot at all. And you're going, well, in his world, it isn't really about accomplishment. It really has, I don't know what it has to do with. Being in the right place at the right time. It says, and you should look at it that way. It says, don't
that
think. Oh, yeah. It says, his. Yeah. It says, his circumstance was totally fortuitous.
Yeah.
You know, but the smack him for it? I go, no. He says, it is what it is.
Yeah, but the thing is that the Uncle Lord knew what he was doing. He had enough experience.
I think. Well, I don't know. He was pretty much doing this stuff when he was in his late 20s, early 30s. After he got done doing his stuff, he got his master's.
But he knew what he was doing.
He was going to school.
The problem with David is he really doesn't know what he's doing.
Oh, I don't know that.
The things he told me, it sounds like he doesn't know what he's doing.
Well, not so much anymore, because he kind of says, I don't think they like me, and you go, and that was what I was telling him too. I said, you have to understand, a manager isn't going to particularly be liked very, very readily, especially a very young one. Where it's like you're going into a thing where it's really kind of a milieu of skill, and you go, you know, this is Justin did okay because he was one of the skilled guys, and then he was the one that said, fine, I'll do management. So, I thought about that. I didn't think about that much. I was saying, well, there you go. He says, that's what... He says, Nemro, can I be honest? That's what you are. You know? He says, you've only ever had leadership roles because you were basically the only person to fill the role. And you go, and that'll be the way it always tends to be. Not that you won't do a good job, but yeah, it says you'll never be considered for anything serious. It'll always just be, well, there's nobody else to do it, so Nemro, you can do it. I was like, okay. Anyway, but then this guy also brought up, he said the specialist role in the military is now being handled exclusively by contractors. You get the expertise you need by contractors.
Yeah.
And so I was thinking about our boys. The modern military, more and more so, is only about the leadership track. You know, it's only about, you're going to command men, you're going to take care of this, you're going to oversee that. It's not about doing anything particularly. You're not a doer. You're a manager. You manage things. Even at the NCO level, once you get to technical sergeant, they expect you to be a reasonably good leader, manager of something, including people. And you're going, well, says, I don't see the twins or those guys really getting into any of that.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem like that's their course, I think. Perhaps, yeah, if he wants to. That's why I said, man, if those guys give you a chance to go to an officer training school, take it. Because I think you might be our breakthrough guy. Our family may finally break into something along those lines. Because I was thinking about Dad. And they said, well, your father, he was the president of a company. He was manager of this. And he owned his own company. And I said, you know what? The only reason why he was the president of this and the president of that is because he was a dang good salesman.
Yeah.
And he created money. And they wanted to keep him around. They didn't want him fluttering off someplace else. Which he did. You know?
He
did? No, whoa. Well, while we were in Lubbock, he was the president of KSA Corporation in Lubbock. You know, they're kind of this outfit's a subsidiary in Lubbock. And he hated it. He didn't like it. It was causing problems. And he couldn't go out and sell much. So he left that and took a job at a competitor. Oh, he got sued, you know, because they said, you signed a thing that said that you wouldn't do that. You know, you could leave, but for 2 years, you weren't allowed to be in competition with us. And he just said, screw that. And he did. It didn't come to anything, I don't think. I don't think they ultimately did anything to him. Because they were hoping that they could entice him back somehow. Which is where most of those things go. You know, it's just kind of a threat. But it's really an empty tooth threat. Anyway, Dad was always a salesman. Even when he worked for himself, he was just the guy that made all the money. You know, they always had a couple of other salesmen, but... And it really wasn't that he was training them or managing them or anything like that. You know. Yeah, he was just a salesman for all those years. Anyway, so... said, yeah, even Dad really never became one of those sorts of people. You know, he was just basically a technician, a really good one. You know, he was good in what he did. So, I need to write a letter to the boys, to the twins, and say, you know, be careful. Do good. This is your next step besides a mission will probably be to go into military contracting. It says says the money's really good. And you know, and that's where people in more technical fields, plumbing being much more akin to a technical field than it is to management. that's where you get, you know, all the people that are really respected in their CE shops. They're all contractors. They've been doing it for years, you know. Those guys know that if there's a road forward for them, that's probably a good road forward. Not that going someplace and just going out into industry isn't a bad thing. It says, but you've got an opening that most of those guys don't have. Your regular plumber that just kind of was some kid that some plumber picked up to dig ditches, and he finally got his journeyman. I said, he has very little hope of getting into a contracting job out at the base, where you have a much better chance of getting a contracting job out at the base. Being ex-military. So I need to clue him into that. I've actually written on this subject. Of course, I'm sorry, family members never read anything I write. It's a law decreed in heaven. I'm writing to the wind. My family thinks so little of me. Oh, I don't tend to email these.
Good night, dude.
Yeah, anyway. Well, I take advantage of the fact that school's out, I tell you. But there isn't some cop sitting up here ready to nail him. Anyway.
I'm a tracking car. All the way hiking up there.
Yeah? Oh, that's amazing what I can do. That's okay. Anyway. Ooh, somebody else is walking too.
Yeah.
With their doggy. Oh, is that? Yeah. Anyway. So yeah, it helps me get myself into perspective. You said, yeah, I've made choices in the past for which I still pay. And you go, you know, I'm doing okay. I don't need to get cocky. Although I don't think I am. It's just letting David know. I says, you have to be careful. I says, you know, with... I remember I was talking to one of the more senior managers at PMS when I was working at Roundtree. My boss's boss, they brought me in because they didn't want me to leave. And I said, I'm leaving. And they said, oh, wait, but before you make any definite decisions, bigger leadership wants to talk to you. And he was talking all about the fact, he says, you know what, I don't know a dang thing about medicine. Not a clue. And you go, but I manage 20 doctors. And you go, and they're tough to deal with. You know, says, doctors think they're gods. And you go, and society pumps them up that way, just like they do teachers, you know. Teachers think they're gods, too. Anything they say is blessed by the hand. Anyway, and he was saying, you know, he says, just hang in there. You'll find your way. And I, you know, I was already half gone anyway, so I was like, oh, forget it. It is. It's that second lieutenant getting their butt handed to him by the senior master sergeant saying, you don't know crap about crap, buddy. And you go, well, that's kind of the way it goes, man. And I did. I was telling David, in that letter, I said, it's time to make a choice. I said, somebody's making a choice that they want you in management. I said, I don't think that's really what Clark wants, but that's what he's doing. I says, and he will probably follow that path, even though it's not even conscious for him. Just circumstantially, you kind of became, if not a protege, pretty close to it. And I'm like, you know, at this point, I'm going to be 53 here in a few weeks. I said, this is a bad time to try to start being a second lieutenant. Yeah. Says, now, if something happens to Justin, I've really been the only person that has entertained that I might take his job. Maybe. I don't know. I don't think Clark likes these very much. It would be the whole thing of, I'm much more, you know, he would say, I'm much more comfortable with David. I'd rather have David reporting to me than Nemro reporting to me. I'm afraid Nemro would, you know, it's become obvious over time that me and Clark have very different ideas about how things should go. But I always say, it's your shop. It says, things will go your way. It says, I, you know, if it was interesting enough to me, I would go someplace else that was more, I says, nothing's going to be my style. Come on, I'm weird. I'd have to run my own shop. It'd have to be somebody who's saying, oh, I need to get somebody and I'm going to get Nemro. But I've had a few of those things and nothing ever came of any of it, not even an interview for stuff like that. It's always been for the technical side. It's like, oh, man, you go, I already got a technical job. I don't need another technical job. Fighting with another piece of software. But, yeah, so if it came, would I take it? Probably. Just because of the money. Clark would probably offer it to me just to hang on to me. You know? Oh, well, you can only entertain that stuff so long. The whole thing is he going to be able to get anybody else? And then after they were to get me, could they get somebody to take my old place? And I'd say, probably not. Maybe. So yeah, I don't know. It's a whole bunch of things. This is number one, I don't ever get in Clark's face about this stuff. Never. No, that's stupid. I said, see, Chad thought because he'd sat in a chair for that long that he owned the chair. And you go, don't ever think you own anything. If you want something to change, you got to do the changing. This usually means you've got to go and work for somebody else. Says, here's Chad's biggest problem is, it's like, dude, it says, you are totally unproven. I don't mean to be rude. It says, you eventually got this job because as a student you were screwing around with the computers. And then a job opened up and they thought about you. It says, that's kind of how David got it. It says, that's what's happening to David. It says, the only problem is, I've told him. And I think he thought that I didn't like him because I was telling him, oh, there's some job opportunities you might want to take advantage of. And it's like, well, Nemro just wants to get rid of me. And I go, no, you moron. I'm telling you that if you want to be respected, if you want to have proven yourself, this is especially in this field, it says you gotta work for several places. In each one of those places, yes, ma'am, I'm not going to run into them. My wife, the mom. I love you. I think I'll be okay. I apologize, Lee. I'm such a contrarian. I apologize. I love you dearly. Oh, that's fine. You didn't even have to slow down for me, I don't think. It's good for her. It's good for her. Let her know that she isn't the master of the universe. I'm not either. Anyway, they're all going too fast. I apologize, Lee. You're very considerate of other people. So, yeah. No, and it's like the whole thing, and you go, you know what? In 10 years, I won't give a flip. Says, and he'll be barely starting his 30s. And you're going, did I give him good advice? He says, yeah, I gave him damn good advice. Says, the problem is he took it wrong. He says, and that's typical. I said, trust me. Everybody who tends to be the best people, you think they all have some kind of motivation. And you're going, David, I says, I don't mean to be rude, but you ain't got nothing on me. And I said, and that's not cocky. If you and I were to go into an interview for the same job, I would stomp on you. And I said, I'm sorry.
Well, it's something close.
Yeah. Oh, I don't care. No. No. They have to make some pretense.
Yeah.
But no, they don't. They don't have to do anything. It doesn't matter. They can choose to just take him. They don't have to prove anything else. They can just say, well, we didn't like this person. They can cook up a whole bunch of stuff. Trust me, whoever gets the job is because somebody wants them to have the job. Sometimes you don't have those things. Nobody wanted Joseph's job. I did. You know, do I just spend my life being pretty much gone over by everybody around me? Lisa thinks I can't get across the street.